neighbors, loved ones, and brothers and sisters around the world that are listed in our prayer list. And thank you, O Lord, again for all the forgiveness and forbearance that you want us to have in particular. Given to us, O Lord, and may your day come quickly, O Lord, and remember each one of us. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, church. Thank you, visitors, for being here this morning. We have started a series of messages, really just one long message that turns into a series of messages. This will be our third sermon on this message, and we're still in the introduction. We will finish that introduction today. And then we will get into the first of about three or four points that we're going to have. I say three or four because I really don't know. get excited sometimes when I talk about the Lord. And I get upset sometimes when I hear a lot of churches and Christians talk about the Lord. It seems like sometimes people don't even know the Lord. They don't understand him at all. They can't comprehend what the Lord's saying in his word. I know that to us who understand that it's a gift of God, and I know that our conviction of the scriptures, interpretation of scriptures, whatever you want to call it, is a gift from God through the Holy Spirit. And not everybody understands everything the same. Nobody understands it all. But it's simple for Christians to comprehend, if they listen to the scriptures and comprehend the scriptures, what God's trying to tell us in it. The song we just sung, Blessed Assurance, is one of my most favorite songs of all of them. It's in the top two or three. I love Victory in Jesus the best because it tells the story about victory in Jesus. But Blessed Assurance tells us about our assurance in God and how we get it. I did want to say, before I get going too far, Brother Sister White and Brother White, Brother Sister White down at Silsby, we added, by Bridget's request, Bridget Roberts, her daughter, her request, we added them to our prayer list. Be sure to pray for them. Brother White had to have some stents put into his heart. So I wanted to make mention of that. He and her added to our prayer list. Be sure to pray for them. If you will, turn to Psalms 34. We'll be there in just a minute. I want to read a couple of scriptures before I get there in Isaiah, not far from there. And the reason I titled this message what I have, and that is, there is none else. In Isaiah 45, verse 18, the Lord says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Amen. You get down to verse 22, it says, "Look unto me, the Lord said, and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Now, Isaiah 46, one chapter over, verse 9, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." None. We've covered a lot, and I'm not going to go over everything we've covered. But we've covered the workings of God in this world. And a lot of people look at God in a lot of different ways. And a lot of people compare God to a man. And God is not a man.
Amen.
Jesus wasn't even all man. Jesus was incarnate God. Jesus was holy. He wasn't made from the seed of man. He was made from the seed of God. He's the eternal Son of God. But we, everybody else that's been born on this earth, have been born sinners. We were born separated from God. We were born in enmity with God. We were born with no understanding of God. But as we're saved and as we grow in maturity in the Word of God, we must remain to understand and grow in understanding God. Life as a Christian is not about us.
Amen.
I hate to break a lot of hearts, but it's not. It's about God. God's a jealous God. And we are to serve and worship only He, not us. When Christians start to learn about God, they should start learning about His sovereignty. How He is over all things. How He controls all things. How that nothing happens that God is not in control of. See, people want to blame God for being absent, or blame God somehow for school shootings, for church shootings, for things like happened in Atlanta last night, Atlanta, Georgia last night, where these heathen Antifa members went through the city, shooting it up, tearing it up, burning it up. These are people of Satan. And it's not God's fault these things happen. Everything happens because of sin. We're blind. The Jews didn't crucify Christ, we crucified Him. He went to the cross to die for our sins. God sent Him there to die for our sins. And then we got down last week where we got to the point where we talked about God and how at one time He destroyed the earth. A lot of people say, well, yeah, He destroyed the earth. No, He destroyed the inhabitants of the earth.
Amen.
He destroyed every man, woman, and child, fish, bird, everything. Killed it. Except for those that were on the ark. That He did not kill. By grace, they survived. So this brings us to our scripture this morning in Psalms 34. Let's start reading, and the more I look at this, the more I want to go back up into scripture. So let's back up. We're going to start verse 8. Let's back up to verse 6. And the psalmist wrote, "This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Isn't that wonderful? Who saved him? God did. Out of what? Out of his troubles. God didn't save him out of his troubles just because he cried. God saved him out of his troubles because God wanted to. Out of mercy and grace. God's not obligated to save any of us out of our troubles. But if He chooses to do it, He will. See, that's the difference about the true God and the God people imagine in their minds. True God does His will. Verse 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear Him and deliver them." Isn't that wonderful? That's beautiful, isn't it? "Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." Verse 9, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lion doth lack and suffer hungry. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Is that true? It is. It's the Word of God. We got to have the faith to believe it. Every time we worry about things, it's a time in which we're not trusting God. Every time we doubt God, it's a time when our faith has failed us. A time when we're looking beyond the Lord for help. Anytime we look to someone besides the Lord for help, it's a time that we're not looking to the Lord for help. You will turn over to the 111th Psalm. Psalms 111, verse 9. He sent redemption, in verse 9, Psalms 111, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. A couple things here. First, he sent redemption to his people. They didn't get their own redemption. They didn't call their own redemption. He gave them redemption because he chose to. Second, holy and reverend is his name. Holy. There's nothing evil in God. There's nothing sinful in God. People may want to look at God as, well, God just didn't protect us. God don't have to protect us. God just didn't help us. God don't have to help us. See, what we fail to understand is everything we receive from God is grace. It's a gift. Reverend is his name. That's his name. Not my name, it's his name. Reverend is one that should be feared. And he goes on and says, the fear of the Lord, that is our fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. It's when we fear God. That is when we fear, as I preached last Sunday, Wednesday night, when we fear God and failing him. Have you thought lately about, do I please my Father? God has given me all these things in life. Do I give back to God what he gives me? Or even one iota of it? The fear is not that we fear God's going to chasten us or chastise us. The fear is that we fail him. In Proverbs chapter 1, I had to move on. If not, I won't finish this part today. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear. What do you got to do to hear? You got to listen, don't you? To me? No. To the Word of God. I'm just a man. This is the Word of God. This is what you got to listen. The problem is, too many people on this earth that call themselves Christians, that call themselves churches, don't want to listen to the Scripture. They fail. Well, I don't care what you think. And you know what? God doesn't care what you think. God is one dimension. He's God. He's holy. He's reverent. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of Gods. He doesn't care what your opinion is. Neither does he care what my opinion is. He doesn't get insulted or embarrassed by what we think of him, or what the world thinks of him, or what people in general think of him. He doesn't get one care in the world what politicians or the kings of the world think of him. When they don't like him, he will put them out into a pasture like an ass for 7 years and they'll eat grass. We must first hear, and when we hear the word of God, it will increase our learning on what God is saying. Well, the world's changing. God doesn't care if the world's changing. The world keeps changing. You know what it's going to change itself into? The same thing that happened back in Genesis 6 when God destroyed the earth. He's going to destroy the world again. This time with fire. Just like everything was flooded last time, everything will be flooded this time. But there'll be no ark this time. There'll be no eight souls and animals on the ark. It won't be. God will destroy the earth and then melt it with fervent heat. So, if we hear God's word, if we actually listen to hear it and understand it, then it will increase our learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Your mom and daddy is not necessarily that wise counsel. Maybe your pastor's wise counsel. Maybe the elders in the church are wise counsel. If your mom and daddy are spiritual people, church people, God-fearing people, then they are wise counsels. I have people just told me, well, my daddy taught, I don't care what your daddy taught you. Your daddy's not even a Christian. How can he teach you about fearing God? How can he teach you about the Word of God? The statutes of God, the commandments of God, what God expects of us. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Psalms 111:9 we just read, the Lord said, holy and reverence his name. The name holy is in reference to God means God is pure. God is pure. There's no downside to God. None. You can't go wrong obeying the scriptures and walking in the scriptures. Will the world disapprove of it? They most certainly will. Will your family disapprove of it? They most certainly probably will. Unless they know the Lord and walk in the scriptures themselves. Your friends, everybody around you, may damn you for it. You can't imagine the names I've been called. You can't imagine the names I've heard this church called. What's been said about it? Because people don't comprehend the Word of God. They haven't listened to the Scriptures. People are too busy telling God what they think, instead of asking God what he's saying. God is pure. And his name is reverend, which means one to be feared. John Gill wrote these words, holy and reverend is his name. The name of God is holy. That's his name. It is his nature. And appears in all of his works. Holiness, that is. He goes on to say, and which he is glorious and is reverend. He is to be feared and reverend. reverenced by all of his creatures, and among his saints, as he is by the angels in heaven. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how ignorant a lot of people can be. Even a lot of people that call themselves Christians, churches, and people that are actually Christians. We are not angels, okay? There's a debate on Facebook here lately. A couple of my sisters posted on Facebook, and people want to argue about what angels that we don't become angels, folks. Your loved ones that's gone aren't angels. They're saved Christians. Amen. They're saints of God, adopted, and the children of God as family of God. Angels are not family of God. They are servants and messengers as we are here on this earth. They never become children of God, and we never become angels. God is reverent. It is not his name, but his very being and nature, which makes it his name. It's who he is. Holy, reverend is his name, is his being, is who he is. Not just a name. Not just something we've tagged to him. It's his very nature. God is to be awed and respected deeply in fear of all of his creatures, especially Christians and churches. A believer or a church that has no deep respect for God and God's word and the commandments of God and God's word, the rebuke of God and God's word, has no respect or reverence of God. None. If we have no respect or reverence of God, we fail in believing and obeying the word of his word. We fall into the eager hands of Satan. If you will, go to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and humanity. You cannot serve God and Satan. One will cause you to either hate the other or to despise the other. Why the two? Why did God put it two ways? For this reason. Christians don't ever hate God. Real Christians don't. But they can despise God. They can look at the ways of God. They can look at the holiness of God. They can look at the way God writes in his word and despise it. I just don't believe that God meant that about abortion. Yeah, he did. He made his murder. It's their way out of having to justify their disappointment in God's word and in God. Does God really mean what he says about this or that way? Yes, he does. God never changes. He doesn't change in time. He doesn't change in thinking. He doesn't change in his ways. Whatever God condemned in his word is condemned today by God. May not be by our government. May not be by our nation, but it is of God. Because God does not change one iota. We will go to Second Timothy chapter 2. Paul was writing to Timothy, a young preacher, also considered his son in the ministry, not his son, but his son in the ministry. And he says in verse 24 through 26, he says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, who's this? Christians. They get taken captive by Satan. Well, how do you know that? Because lost people are already taken captive. But sometimes Christians allow themselves to be captive of Satan. Christians, churches, and mainly pastors must not forget that Satan is our adversary, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Meaning that Satan is our archenemy, trying to devour God's pastors, churches, and Christians in general. The devil accuses men before God, laughs about it. He wants all of us to fall into his power of thinking, so that we can separate ourselves from God. God will never separate from us, but we can separate ourselves from God. That's exactly what God was talking about in Matthew 6, 24. When he said, if we do try to serve Satan in the world here, we will either hate God or we will else will not will despise God. All because we let ourselves get captive of Satan. We fell under his thinking. We fell under his power. A lot of churches have done it. A lot of pastors have done it. A lot of Christians do it. I know them. I see them. I talk to them. I argue and debate with them. I know what I'm talking about. It's all because Christians are not obeying the Word of God. They're simply putting themselves and their ways and their wants and wishes above that God commands. So he wants us to separate ourselves from the word of truth so that we may fail God to obey God, so that he can accuse us before God with much joy in his heart. Paul had a great concern when he wrote to the church at Corinth, a church with many problems, in these words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul wrote to this church in the second letter, this letter that after they were somewhat corrected. He says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11, "But I fear, lest, or that not by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Isn't that a concern? He's writing to a church, isn't he? His fear is that they continue to allow themselves to be overtaken by Satan. He goes on to say, "For if he cometh, preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you are not accepted, you might well bear with him." We have to stand up as Christians and say, no, Satan. No. It's not okay what the world's doing. It's not okay what our government does. It's not okay what Satan's allowing to happen in this world. It's not okay. God said it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it's doing it.
Amen.
The problem is too many Christians are falling into the trap. They're not thinking. They're pushing the teachings they learned as children, as they grow up, even as adults, aside to allow new things to come into their lives. I've had two preachers that you know well and I know well who have traveled across the United States and many states and many areas that's been to Sovereign Grace Baptist churches that's no longer should be even called a Sovereign Grace Baptist Church because their doctrine has failed. Whose fault is that? It's the church's fault. But the brunt of that fault falls upon pastors. If they have them. We get sometimes tied up into numbers. How many come? People ask me all the time, how many come to y'all's church on Sunday? Why does it matter? Numbers don't mean anything. How many hits do you get on Facebook? I don't put our service on Facebook to get hits. I put our service on Facebook so that people that want to listen to it can. If they don't want to, don't. You're not going to hurt my feelings at all. I'm not looking at the numbers. I do view them occasionally, but that's not what entices me to put it on or not. If I look at some of the numbers, I take it completely out. I did look at the numbers on our sermon audios, didn't I? And when I wanted to support the Berean Baptist banner that we have in that rack out there and get their paper to the other parts of the world, I sacrificed that and asked the church to remove that because we wouldn't get a lot of hits on it. I asked the church to remove that so we could use that money over on the Berean Baptist banner and other missions. All that did was have my preaching on it. And then I go to Silsbee to their Bible conference, and Sister White's daughter, her other daughter, who I didn't even know existed, a little short thing about this high, talks about 900 miles an hour, just like her sister Bridget. Y'all remember Bridget, I'm sure. She's the one that had the camper parked out here for a while. Told me and said, I was listening to your sermons on there and you disappeared. It made me feel about this at all, short as she was. It's okay. I said, I have a website. We tape it on Facebook all the time. I don't do Facebook. Well, we have a website. Can't do everything. But it did make me feel bad we took it off. But anyway, we move on, don't we? All right, let's move on with our message. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. So we must resist Satan. We must resist Satan's powers in the world. We must resist the thinking of fallen sinners. Not align their demonization of the true God and the truth of His Word to affect us. Who cares if they like us? I don't care. I don't care if they hate me. I'm walking in the Word of God If they disagree, that's their problem, not mine. If God tells me I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If he doesn't tell me I'm wrong, I'm right. We must continue to fear God and obey God's word, walking in the truth, walking in the spirit of the truth, the word of God, resisting the world that controls this evil thinking that is opposite to our gracious God. We cannot serve the things of this world and the habits of this world and go against God. God's not going to bless us if we turn against God for the things of this world. I don't condemn people. Their actions are sinful. So is mine. But God will condemn them. God is the judge, not me. So we're not allowed as Christians to do the things in this world that displeases God or goes against God's word and say, oh, okay, well, I kind of changed my thinking on that. Well, you just went against God. We have to say, get hence Satan, as our Savior did in his temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. Why? Because for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Get hence, Satan. Get away from me, Satan. When people demonize us, and if you don't know what demonization is, it takes in politics and news media all the time. They demonize people who are against homosexuality. They demonize people to generate a hate in the world against people that don't believe in abortion. If you don't agree with them, then our cars, our cows, now our gas stoves, among other things that they so ridiculous talk about, is destroying the climate, then you're just pure evil. Doesn't the word of God say that God sits upon the circle of the earth and he controls all? Isn't it God that holds back the oxygen from getting too strong or too little? Holds back the other gases like carbon dioxide, hydrogen, and other gases in the atmosphere? I'm not a scientist. I don't know about all that. I just know about some gases. How about the sun? Who controls it? You know, the sun is approximately 9,000 degrees, maybe more. Could be 10, 11, 12, 15, 20. We don't know for sure. Nobody's ever been there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of politicians I'd like to put on a spaceship and send to the sun, but I can't do that. I really wish God would just say that. But who controls the sun for getting... What happens if it gets too close? We'll burn up, won't we? What happens if we get too far away? We freeze. What controls that? God controls it. God controls the climate. God controls everything. I don't care if it's warmer today than it was 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years ago. That's God's will there for us, isn't it? Maybe it is getting warmer on this earth. You know, one day it's going to get real hot here. But does anybody really believe that our cows passing gas is destroying our climate? Does anybody really believe that your gas cook stove is destroying the climate? You know, most restaurants use gas cook stoves. Maybe all these people need to quit eating at these restaurants that have gas cook stoves, wouldn't they? Quit flying on planes, quit driving cars. Our Amish people still drive what? Horse and buggies, don't they? We have such things called bicycles, do we not? Tricycles, bicycles, for those that are actually growing up a little bit. I'm not making fun of them, I'm just telling the truth. I mean, if I'm going to get into a plane that's going to crash, I'd be stupid for getting into it, wouldn't I? Okay, enough making fun of them. Next week, we will actually start our first point after 3 weeks of introduction to this message. And it will focus, this whole message will focus entirely on God. Entirely upon what God says, entirely what God thinks, entirely upon what God accomplishes and does. Because our world, the one we live in, doesn't understand that God saves sinners, much less that God controls our lives. But He does. And when we get done with this message, we will all understand that. Whether we fall into the hands of Satan, into the hands of the world, into the weak thinking of the world, as a lot of Christians do. But what Christians need to remember every time we do, we are not fearing God. We're not worried about whether or not our Father cares what we're doing. Let's all stand. Justin's gonna come. He's gonna lead us out of song.